This topic came in as supposed to be e-extension, but somebody realized that we spelled it incorrectly, so they changed it back to just the capital E on extension. And so I got a kick out of looking at this. What can extension do in our state programs? That's a pretty challenging subject in that topic. Now, before I go forward, how many of you in here are state specialists? Okay. How many folks are in communications within there? Okay. And how many of you are very web savvy on this? Everybody in the communications said yes. The state specialists are kind of doing this number. Okay. And who else in here is actively involved, not with our corn soy group, but who else is actively involved in e-extension in one form or fashion? Okay. Quite a few overall. Okay. So with that, anyhow, this is what the title should have been, was where extension, I don't know how you say that differently to differentiate it from regular extension, but that's what the name is, how extension fits into our programs. And this is the logo. Even though there were some people from Kentucky that were behind the initial development of this project, obviously the graphic designer was from Tennessee. On that. So anyhow, and the, let me back up for a second, on that logo, apparently those of you in communications, right now the popular thing on logos is to see three words that describe everything. And so the three words now for extension, e-extension, is more, mind, reach. Okay, this extension with a capital X started out as e-extension. And it was initiated by four people in their respective ag communications departments or divisions, depending upon how they're described. One from the University of Nebraska, and that's where the overall extension initiative grant is housed. And for those of you that are involved in this, you know that your grants are coming through them. Two are from Kentucky in our ag communications. One was from NC State. And in addition to that, there was quite a bit of big money coming into this program. There was a line item. I don't know if it's still there or not, but there was a line item in the ag budget for e-extension or this extension initiative. And then in addition to that, many of our deans at our land grant institutions were putting money into this as well. And so there was some big push by some big people to get this thing up and running. So if you looked at the overall goals of the extension initiative, not our group, but the overall initiative, was they wanted this extension with a capital X to be the center of information for web content, and basically that's universal. The example that I heard on several presentations at Kentucky was the example of how to make a calf halter for 4-H projects and things like that. Making a calf halter is the same in Kentucky as it is in Washington, as it is in New Mexico. Although those of you in those various states may argue that you use something slightly different, but maybe decorate it differently. But that was their point, was we wanted to take the universal information, put it on the web, and have this e-extension. I'm just going to call it e-extension. Is that okay? Have e-extension be the center or the hub for all of this content. And what that would do, and the way it was certainly marketed at the federal level, was it would allow universities with limited resources or limited web presence to benefit from a collective group, certainly from other universities that may have more resources and things like that. And probably the one that concerned me some was in these presentations, I heard several times that it would provide a constant present or a content presence, either way, even if you had a personnel gap. And I don't like the idea of being a gap in the process. So that was some of the comments as well. And again, it goes back to, you know, if you're resource limited, if you're without a person for a while, don't worry, e-extension can take care of that role for us. And so with that, I spoke quite a bit with other members, particularly in this A4 division, about this. This is what I've been hearing at our university about e-extension. What have you guys heard about it? Should we do something like this for corn and soybeans? And so we had quite a few discussions about it at a few of these meetings and a few other meetings where we get together on a typical basis and meet. And so we went round and round on what we should do, if we should do it, and how it should be done. And the one thing we recognized right up front was some universities already had really good websites, and probably the standard, at least in my opinion, is the Chat and Chew Cafe, which Bob Nielsen at Purdue runs. And I don't think Bob's in here to give him the full credit for it. But this is a screen capture of Bob's site, the Chat and Chew Cafe. You can see there's current news and information, and I think I've got one where we scroll down a little bit. And he does a pretty good job, or the people that are working with him do a really good job of keeping that site updated with a lot of Midwestern information, anyhow, on corn and soybean production. And so we recognized that that was already, in one respect, it was a hub for very current information, meetings and newsletters and updates that we already had in place. So we knew we weren't going to repeat that with the extension. And so what we decided was, going back to what that initial example was about how to tie a calf halter, this idea, this universal content, we thought we would develop some content that was fairly universal across the country. But at the same time, we recognized that growing soybeans in Minnesota is very different than growing soybeans in Virginia or Texas. And so there's a lot of, even within some of our states, even within irrigated Nebraska versus western Nebraska, you've got differences in how you manage those crops. And so what we wanted to do was we wanted to take the universal content that we had and put that on the site, but then we wanted to quickly direct a reader to their state extension specialist and get them to that specific information that they were looking for. And so that's the mindset of how we went into this process. So we decided, since we already were all involved with certified crop advisors, whether it's putting together the tests or certainly in the educational process with continuing education credits and such, we decided we would group our content based on the categories that we use for CCAs. So crop management, pest management, nutrient, and then soil and water. And from that, I'm going to jump into, this is, if you're on the eExtension site and you were in the corn and soybean group, you might see this on corn planting. And so we've got a very general topic on corn planting, some very general comments about dates relative to where you are within the state. And then at the bottom, it's in orange, so it's a little bit hard to read. But it says contact your state extension corn specialist in this case. And so if you click on that site, it goes to the Chat and Chew Cafe, which has a listing of all the state corn specialists already in there. And so if you scroll down, you find your specialist in that regard. And then so you may go to the Wisconsin site, which is an excellent site. You might go to Penn State, again, if you're in that area, which is also an excellent site. Again, has state-specific information, has the explanations of the expert at that level, and really that's where we wanted the readers to go, was to recognize the information in state. And Iowa State has an excellent site as well. I just realized when I was loading this up that I picked all corn sites. There are some good soybean ones out there as well. Right, cool beans? There you go. So, okay. All right, so if you go into the front page of eExtension, which is extension.org, you're going to see this site, and the front page is going to change from time to time as far as the content on that page, as far as recent news articles. That's probably a little bit better picture of it. You can click on About to find out what this is about, and it basically, to summarize it very quickly, I'm sure you're all familiar with it, says that this is where all the experts from the oldest national associations of universities come together to give you the best information possible, essentially like that. It's not quite written on gold plate, but it's really close, is what you'll find out when you read About. If you go into the resource areas and then you start to scroll down, they start out with alerts and then community, and then you scroll down some more. Eventually you get into the farm section, and corn and soybean production is down here within the farm section in that process. So you've got go into our initial front page. They're going to have a few articles that are supposed to rotate back and forth. And then from there, you've got corn and soybeans, and it's broken down into these various groups. So if a person were looking for it that way, they could find that. At the same time, we've also developed frequently asked questions, which are basically based off the content that we developed. And so we recognize anymore now, people are going to go to Google, type in the question in Google, and then do the search. And hopefully one of these FAQs will come up in that Google search, and then it may get them to where they need to go. Although the more I do Google, I almost see Google doing the things, separating it out. You've got a question from Iowa and a question from Minnesota and such on Google itself. Just a few more examples of other pages: corn following corn, corn disease identification, nitrogen requirement for soybean. And again, at the bottom of all these pages, we've got, you know, contact your state extension specialist with the links to those pages as well. Most of you in here already said you're involved with the extension. Most of you, are you involved with content development, sort of this back door into how these things sets up? Most of you, okay. Basically, it's a wiki site. It's one of those that we were told when we first started this that we wouldn't have to learn how to become web designers. We were going to be content managers. And then the first meeting I went to was how to do wiki, not how to do content. And so what we found out in the process was probably the person that helped us out the most was we had a computer science graduate student that had about a 6-month layover between, or maybe it was a year, between finishing up her degree and then moving to where her husband had already moved for a job. And she came in and we got to be content managers at that point. And she really took over the design and development of this from there on out. So if you look in the basic information site, there you can click through, and it's essentially you can click through any of those. And once you have access and you're logged in, you can go back in and make some changes to these as you go. And then those are the various things. And those of you that have done this, you recognize this site that you log into that gets you into those background sites. And so I'm going to skip through those quickly because quite a few of you are already familiar with it. And then I'll also mention some other resources. Horses. One, because I'm from Kentucky, and two, because this was the first site that really was up and running as an extension site, and one that, as you can imagine, probably gets quite a bit of hits across the U.S. A dairy site that's a very good site, a lot of activity and such on it. A cotton site that actually had quite a bit of support from the cotton growers in the South. They put quite a bit of money into this as well and to develop that operation, and so they've done a decent job. Personal finance and even the oil spill. So there are some things in there that are relatively germane to current comments and topics. Right now, there's about 14,000 users of eExtension. But then there's another category for active users, those with a login, and they've made some sort of an edit, about 1,600 people, 1,650. So there's quite a few people from different groups and different extension outfits that are involved in some of this overall. But bringing it back to corn and soybean, really our initial goal was to get that universal content on there and then get people out to the individual sites as quickly as possible. And recognizing that there is room for more to be added on. There is a pest management group that's doing some things related to corn and soybean. We could probably use some more on economics as well. There's certainly more universal things that could be added. But I will put in here, it is time for new leadership in this group as well. Probably a nice side benefit was the three ringleaders that started this. At the time, we were all assistant professors. And I know, at least for my review, it looked really good to have a regional or a national extension project with other members and other universities. And so I'll encourage a few of our junior faculty that may look for those type of things as well, who are also, frankly, are probably a little bit better at the web than even I am. If you've got some fresh ideas and such, it's time to hand that over and let you all run with it. So with that, are there any questions on eExtension? Sean.
So what's your overall feeling given the number of 14,000 of the impact of eExtension?
Well, I can't speak to the overall feeling of it. I'll say on corn and soybean, there's two things I think have come into play. One, a lot of you have some really good sites, and so those get picked up pretty quickly. And then secondly, the big thing that really changed was when this initially got started was Google. And Google's come into play, and so folks are searching in Google. And so I don't know how many hits we're getting at this site before they come to our sites. I don't know if anybody in here has a good matrix on that to know one way or the other. At the same time, as long as land grants and there's a federal line item for e-extension, I think it's wise that we are at least part of that system, that we're at least involved. Yeah, Sean.
So is that 14,000? Is that for corn, soybean, or is that for everything?
That's everything. Okay. That's total. Other questions?
We have plenty of time for questions and discussion now.
Yes.
I have a question about, you said you have 3 ringleaders for your CMP.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering how successful you've been in getting national participation from other colleagues working in the same area. That's a bit of a challenge I'm having right now.
Well, in our case, again, we had one initial goal, and that was to put a bunch of content on and get it universal and have a lot of content pages and a lot of FAQs. We had really good participation. We had probably 15 or 20 of us that met several times and got that all up and going. And once we got it up, we're like, okay, now we're in good shape. And so that's what I'm saying. Those of us that initially put it up, we're content. We feel like we met our goal. If it's going to do more or get any stronger, I think it needs some new people in it to really make it go it there. How do you get other involvement in? I think the hook of promotion and tenure for particularly junior faculty is a decent hook. And I'm not being facetious when I say it was good to have it on my CV as an extension activity.
But Chad, wouldn't you say we were already working together?
We were. That's a good point.
This was nothing new.
That's a good point.
This was just a task for all of us to do.
That's a good point. Would have made a great community of interest, or whatever it's now and, but
we're already one
sort of. So that was. I mean, that's part of it. And we have our curmudgeons, which makes it. I mean, we got to have them, or it wouldn't be fun. And one person who didn't participate was Bob, because Bob already has the gold standard. In the chat and chew. So, and that's my opinion. That's not Bob saying it. That's my opinion with it. You know, he didn't see how it would benefit his chat and chew cafe with what he was doing. Yes?
As a follow-up to that, so Bob did, using Bob as an example, so Bob didn't participate so much. One thing I've had come up is a little bit of resistance from folks who are concerned that e-extension is going to detract somehow from their state work. Or that they wouldn't be getting adequate credit for work they've already done that might end up on the COP?
Same questions we had as a group, am I right? I mean, those are the same questions we asked. And that's why we kind of went with the mindset of we'll put content on e-extension, but we'll get it out to the state specialists as quickly as possible, because we had that same concern that... And in our case, it wasn't as much worried about the credit as we just want the practitioner to have that state-specific information. I don't want to have a producer telling me they should plant 100,000 more beans to the acre because they read a guide out of Minnesota instead of out of Kentucky, as an example. Does that make sense? And vice versa. He doesn't want the producer reading Kentucky stuff and trying to apply it in Minnesota.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you have to get people to the regional and even more detailed information. What's your sense of the extension's take on that, though? I mean, I've been to a few different extension meetings, and they're very much concerned about where their logos are and how the website is constructed and how it looks and feels. So you're kind of walking a fine line there with what the extension wants and what you really want to get to the user.
Yes. Yes, and you could even say it's a philosophical argument between what the extension agronomist, the person conducting the research, recognizing the pertinent issues, thinks is pertinent, versus versus the ag communications hub, which has their own ideas of what things should be communicated and how it should be packaged. And it may be a philosophical difference that way as well. I mean, obviously, if you're bringing in funds from all the land-grant universities and have a line item budget, you're going to want eExtension to be the site, right? If I were in charge of eExtension, that's what I would want. I'd want it to be the site and everything else to feed off of it. This thing's being recorded, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it was nice knowing y'all. So.
We can take, we're into the period now where we have 10 minutes of discussion, and I would like to invite John and James and Mary back up, but I believe Chad, since he's moderating another session in virtual spirit, he probably needs to get back over there. So if there's one more question for Chad, let's do that now, and we'll let him go, and I'll bring the other three up.
Okay.
Seeing none,
thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.